I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. There's a new documentary we want to tell you about. It tries to decode a real-life mystery that unfolded on an isolated island in the Pacific. And before we tell you the full story, I want to play you a clip from the film.
When Friedrich and I left Germany, ours was a flight to total solitude. At the time, neither of us could have imagined that others would intrude upon our island paradise. Nor could we have foretold the strange and sinister drama that would be unleashed upon us all. A drama that, over 5 short years, would leave our dream in fragments and send my dear companion Friedrich to his grave.
You could call it When Darwin Met Hitchcock. The time, the 1930s. A handful of Germans pack up their lives and move to one of the most remote places in the world, the Galapagos, to one of the most remote islands of the Galapagos. If they wanted to live like pioneers, they found the right spot. But their story takes a bad turn when two of the islanders disappear under suspicious circumstances. The documentary that tells the story, The Galapagos Affair, Satan Came to Eden, is out today. Dana Goldfein and Dan Geller are the filmmakers. Now, this film was not plan A. You didn't start out with the idea of telling this story. What took you to the Galapagos in the first place?
Well, we were brought down by a friend who was actually working on an interactive middle school curriculum on evolution and natural selection. This was 1998, and we were shooting and doing sound for him. We stumbled across the story when Dana pulled a book off the shelf of our little boat.
And much to our surprise, because we'd gone down to the Galapagos assuming that there were no human inhabitants and it was really just a place devoted to tortoises and Darwin's finches and iguanas, you know, much to my surprise, when I pulled this book off the shelf, it was about the human history of the islands. It was like, wow, these islands have a human history, much to my delight, because I am a true crime aficionado. The third chapter was called Murder in Paradise. And so I just was like, wow, not only are there people that live here, but there's a murder mystery. And so I was hooked.
I mean, it is an amazing story, and you didn't have to write a screenplay for a feature film to tell it, in part because you had these incredible home movies at your disposal to tell the story. The fact that there was all this black and white footage is just amazing. How'd you get it?
That was the key to unlocking this whole movie, because we didn't know that footage was there for the first couple of years that we were mulling over what to do, if there was a way to approach the movie. And then this same friend who we, at least a dinner out at this point, was told about this archive of footage that Captain Alan Hancock, a very wealthy philanthropist from Los Angeles, had amassed over the years, taking scientists down to the Galapagos. And over the course of 5 years, he returned annually to film the goings-on on the island of Floriana. And we approached the archivist at that Doheny Library, and the footage was falling to pieces. We said, look, we'll take the risk and see if we can save it, if we can have access to it for our film. And that's how it all began.
Tell me a little bit more about these German settlers on this remote island in the Galapagos. Why'd they go there in the first place?
Dr. Ritter and Doris Strauss left because Ritter had, the best way to put it, been destroyed psychologically by World War I, by fighting in the trenches. He lost his faith in humanity and decided he would, along the lines of a Nietzschean Übermensch, try to rebuild himself and test himself against nature, and also perhaps write the next great philosophical tract that would account for this change of 20th century humankind.
And, you know, they were also the first couple, Dora and Friedrich, were in many ways living out their own mythical representation of or embodiment of Adam and Eve. And they were called the Adam and Eve of the Galapagos, despite the fact that they went to find absolute and utter solitude. They were discovered by the tabloids, mostly because letters that they wrote home to friends and family were published by the friends and family members. They sent them off to the papers and journalists. So much to their dismay, the world descended upon them and dubbed them the Adam and Eve. Mm. It began to take on sort of mythological qualities, the whole story.
Were they good pioneers, at least?
Actually, you know, given that all of the people that settled on these islands, or on this one island of Floriana in particular, were not experienced settlers in the least. They were urban people. You know, Dr. Ritter was a physician. Dora Strauss, his girlfriend, had been a housewife. The next family that came were no more suited to be pioneers. And yet, all of these people not only made it, but made it really well. And they figured out how to build their houses and how to survive in a very, very harsh environment.
So life is tough for these pioneers, and then their tale takes this strange turn when they're joined on the island by a threesome, including a woman they believe to be a baroness.
Today was a day of great excitement. Our first visitors have come. This morning I heard our dog barking, and through the trees I saw a small, slim woman of about 40 riding up on a donkey and carrying a revolver. There were two German men with her, one thin and blonde, and the other dark and swarthy. Both of them appeared to be gentlemen in waiting, or perhaps even lovers. What an extraordinary trio.
And the plot thickens, as they say. Who was the Baroness? Where was she from?
Well, the Baroness was her own best publicist and mythologizer. She claimed to have been from Austria, although some say that that might have been just her first point of departure. She left from Paris where she had a little boutique, a little clothing store. None of this would suggest that this woman was so outlandish to have multiple lovers, the intention to build a hotel for American millionaire yachtsmen stopping by, and perhaps even a quest to become a Hollywood movie star.
And quickly, she starts to annoy the Germans who are already on the island.
Well, especially she lived about as far from the Whitmer family as one house is next to the other in a suburban tract. It's by necessity because there were only two springs on the entire island. And so when the Whitmers first came, Ritter took them about an hour or so walk away to the other spring to keep them far away. And the Baroness then presumed that she would just land right next to the Whitmers and more or less have her, well, some might say, debauched existence cheek by jowl with the Whitmers as they were trying to raise their son. And Margaret actually was then 5 months pregnant and about to give birth to another boy.
So what do you believe happened to the Baroness?
Some argue that she boarded a boat to Tahiti with one of her lovers because she gave up on the plan for the hotel. But if you watch the movie, you'll figure out pretty quickly that there's no way, at least in my opinion, that she could land anywhere else in the world without drawing attention to herself. So I think she and one of the lovers disappeared. Another lover washed up dead on another island. I mean, there's of such a small group, so many wound up dying. And the memoirs that exist and which form some of the script that we've heard with these wonderful actors reading point fingers at each other, which makes it frustrating, but also kind of fun to enter into the guessing game to figure out whose version of the truth might one believe.
What's your sense? Was there murder?
I will say I don't think she left the island.
I think there was a murder.
Dan Geller and Dana Goldfein, the filmmakers behind the Galapagos affair, Satan Came to Eden, which is out today. Thanks both of you very much.
Thank you so much, Marco.
I no longer have the least doubt but that the Baroness and Philipson were murdered. I feel a great pity for the Baroness. While she lived, I would have given anything to see her leave the island. But now that she is dead, I would give just as much to see her back again.
Recognize that voice? That'd be Kate Blanchett. You can hear the story of how she became the voice of Dora Strouch at PRI.org. This is PRI, Public Radio International.